Carmela, this may seem obvious, but Christmas and the holidays is a time of traditions.
That's right.
Now, what is one of your favorite holiday traditions?
Hands down, my favorite Christmas tradition is the Feast of the Seven Fishes.
Oh, well, how about we talk about that special celebration and some wines we should pair with the delicious seafood?
Oh, it sounds awesome.
Let's do it. Hello, and welcome to the Wine Pair Podcast. I'm Joe, your sommelier of reasonably priced wine, and this is my wife and my wine pairing partner in crime, Carmela.
Hi there.
And we are the Wine Pair.
I just
hit that. Okay, a quick orientation for those of you who may be new to the podcast. In each episode, we learn about and we taste and we review three wines that are reasonably priced. That means under $20 and should be easy for you to find. And our goal is to have some fun, to learn about some new wines, and talk about wines in a way that regular people like us can understand.
Perfect.
Yeah, and we are proud to say that we are officially recommended by the editors of Decanter Magazine, who call us fun, irreverent, chatty, and entertaining.
Wow.
Okay. That was a very emphatic. Wow. That was, okay, on with it. Okay, so many of you out there in listening land know that Carmela and I are both Italian-American.
Mm-hmm.
And both of our grandparents and or great-grandparents on both sides of our families were immigrants to the United States from different parts of southern Italy.
That's right.
And we know that many people out there in listening land, you have family traditions around the holidays that are passed down from generation to generation, whether that's Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or Christmas or whatever it is you choose to celebrate, and those traditions are what makes the holidays spatial.
Special. So special.
Yeah,
really,
exactly.
Truly.
Okay. Now, in your family, Carmela, you have a tradition that we both love, and it's a widely celebrated tradition for many Italian-American families, and it's called...
The Feast of the Seven Fishes.
That's right. And it takes place every...
Christmas Eve.
That's right. And so this is a big party that we hold or we don't hold it, either at your parents' house or your Uncle Frank and Aunt Deanne's house. And there's tons of food and there's tons of wine and there's tons of people and there's tons of Italian treats. And generally, there is not a speck of
meat.
That's right.
We don't do meat on Christmas Eve. Nope.
Nope. And so for this episode, and for those of you out there in listening land, we're going to talk about what this awesome celebration is. And of course, we're going to spend some time talking about wines that we think are great fits for this amazing celebration.
Wow, this is so fun.
Now, I have a confession to make, too. Not a confession, just a reality check.
Okay.
Okay. Wait. On my mom's side of the family, I do remember having fish on Christmas Eve. And that was a tradition.
But it wasn't your favorite.
And I also kind of... Okay.
Okay, make your confession.
No, and it was also a much more subdued and humble meal. But
for
what
sure.
were you going to say?
And I was just going to say, at that point in your life, you were not very big on fish. And so your mom probably made you an egg.
Or I just ate something different, whatever. Oh. But our big meal was Christmas Day. That was kind of our big thing was Christmas Day. And I also seem to recall that the Christmas Eve tradition in our side of the family was usually a meal of bacala in tomato sauce.
Which is fish.
Which
bacala
is fish.
Is a type of fish.
Now, for those of you
very good.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So those of you out there in listening land who don't know what bacala is, let me tell you. Let me tell you what it is. It is a traditional Italian salted cod, and it's used in a variety of ways, none of which I personally like very much. And there is a famous Italian song that says bacala in it. Do you know what it is? What the song is?
Of course I do. We sang it.
What's the song called?
My great-grandfather. I don't know.
It's called C'è la Luna.
Oh, C'è la Luna.
No, that's all we know.
And then, oh, mama, pesce frita
bacala.
No, it's a wrong one. I mean, that's...
It's a wrong. You said it's a wrong one. What?
No, you were on... The tune was different.
Well, I got the right tune. You got the right... You sing it then. You sing it. You sing it.
Oh, mama, pesce frita bacala.
You can do it that way. Whatever.
I don't know.
Well, here's the funny thing. Like most Italian... This is perfect because most Italian traditions, like a lot of things that come from the old country, in different families, different regions, the word's a little different. The song's a little different.
True.
This is a little different. Like there's the famous Louis Prima version that where it's like zuppa zuppa bacala or something crazy.
Right.
Like he
it's
does something totally
different.
Yeah, exactly.
We scowl when we hear that. We're like, oh, he must be from from the north.
But the problem is, like, you could be from a village like 20 miles away and it'd be totally different. Yeah. And then they'd be insisting, like, theirs is right and yours is wrong.
Right. That's no, there's always a battle. Yeah. Our way is always the right way.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Whatever your way is, it's the right way.
That's why when I first, like, we first started doing, or I started doing this Feast of the Seven Fishes with you, I was like, what the hell is this? Because we didn't do it. So, right. In my mom's family, and I think this is true of a lot of Italian Americans, or in my case, my mom's family, Italian Canadians, who came from the really southern province of Calabria. One thing is, pretty much any food could be combined with tomato sauce.
True.
So it wasn't just bacala. It's like, it's not just spaghetti and meatballs.
You had tomato sauce with your bacala.
Oh, that's what I, yes.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, I heard you say that, but yeah. I wonder, I know you said that was one of the ways it was prepared. But
well, if you give me a minute, I'll talk about it.
Okay, go, okay? Go,
so
go.
Like in my mom's family, tomato sauce with anything. Like we had peas and tomato sauce.
Right.
That was just the thing we did.
That was Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And then my mom would make this thing that we called, I don't know what it was, but we called that meat in the pan. And basically it was old roast beef that she tried to revive in a tomato sauce in a pan over the stove.
Oh my God. So it was probably delicious.
It was not that good, no? But it's fine. So on Christmas Eve, it was bacala, or the salted cod that my Aunt Agata made, which was rinsed. You had to rinse it because it's all salted. So you have to rinse it, which is just weird.
Did she get by it, then salt it herself? Or
did
it come salted?
No. She went to Croce's. She went to PFI.
Right.
Got the salted cod from John Croce and then brought it home, and it was salted. So you didn't have to, like, it was already preserved.
Like you were brining it yourself, like a turkey.
No. Just, okay. But you had to rinse it because if you don't, it's all salted, right? And then she would drop it into a pot of tomato sauce and it would simmer all day, and they would eat that before heading to midnight mass.
My God. Did you go to midnight mass?
Yeah. I mean, that was just kind of the thing. I don't remember really until I was, ironically, a little older going to children's mass. But like, yeah, we would and my brothers would be like altar boys at Christmas Eve mass and all that kind of stuff. So, okay. So all I can remember about bacala, because I don't think I ever ate it, because as you said, I wasn't much of a fish eater at the time or seafood either, is that it smelled horrible.
Oh no.
It smelled terrible.
My gosh.
But the
so
funny thing
odd.
Is I also remember my mom and my uncles, like everybody.
Did they love it?
Oh, they were crazy
but
about it.
Did they
it.
Love the like the tradition and idea behind it, or do you think they actually loved the taste?
I think it's one of those things that like you grow up with it,
right,
and maybe
it's nostalgic. Yeah. I feel like maybe if it's that just doesn't sound very good.
I never tried it, but I don't think it was very good. It was kind of gross.
Never tried it.
But they loved it. They loved it. But in your family, you know, you have this Feast of the Seven Fishes. Mm-hmm. It's quite a bit more elaborate. I don't ever think I've seen bacala there.
No, we don't do bacala. And actually, if you look up the Feast of the Seven Fishes, bacala is not typically on the menu.
Well, that seems odd because it is a very Italian thing. This bacala is a very Italian thing.
Is it a Christmas?
I think it's just an Italian thing to have the, like, salted cod.
But I only knew it from the song. My great-grandfather would
sing
that song.
And I only knew it from, I thought it was a fish you put in tomato sauce, but evidently that's not the only way you can eat it. But anyway, we're not here to talk about bacala.
That's okay.
No.
We're here to talk about your Christmas traditions.
I know, but mine's actually not that interesting. It's just kind of weird. Yours is fun, so we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
We're here to talk about that crazy, huge, amazing meal called the Feast of the Seven Fishes. So we'll talk about what it is in more detail, and we're going to taste and review three white wines that we think may be good pairings for this fun night.
Nice.
And by the way, each of the choices is one from Italy and two, probably not a super common choice for a lot of wine drinkers. So that'll be fun.
Mm.
And we're not going off the beaten path. All these wines are, you should be able to find, and are under $20.
Excellent.
So what do you say? Should we do it?
Let's do it.
Well, first, Carmela, we have to do our
shameless plug.
That's right. So if you are finding that you are enjoying what you are hearing more than you thought you could ever enjoy anything in your life, we think it would be stupendo if you would subscribe to our podcast.
People might think it's stupid.
No, stupendo is wonderful, stupendous. Yeah. And we would also be molto felice if you would leave us a nice rating review. That's right. And review on our website or on our podcast service, on your podcast service, so that people who are out there searching around will see our ratings and go, Maron.
Oh my God.
The Mother Mary.
Right.
Madonna. I should check these guys out. These guys. Okay, so you can also follow us or reach out to us.
Madonna.
You can also follow us or reach out to us on Instagram at the Wine Pair Podcast or on Counter Social, which is our Twitter alternative of choice. Or you can contact us on our website at thewinepairpodcast.com. And as we do every week, we'll tell you someone we think you should tell about the Wine Pair Podcast. And this week, we want you to tell anyone who is of Italian descent or wishes they were of Italian descent.
Which is very common.
Very common.
Most people decide they are Italian.
They just kind of say, I think
yeah,
I'm Italian.
I think I am too.
You want to be Italian? Yeah. Okay, right, you're in. Right. And we've adopted a lot of people.
Right.
In fact, if you give us a rating and review and you let us know, we'll adopt you.
Yeah, you can come to Sunday dinner.
Yeah, and then if you pass that, if you pass that, then you might be able to come to Feast of the Seven Fishes.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so how about we talk about what this here Feast of the Seven Fishes is?
I think that's a great idea.
Okay, so I did a little research on the interwebs, and I started using ChatGPT, too. Wow. Which, if you don't know what that is, it will change the world. Pretty soon, you will never have to write anything ever again. But anyway, the Feast of the Seven Fishes, it probably originated in Italy in some form before it came here to the United States, but it is definitely associated with Italian Americans.
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
I don't think it's something that you, like, if you went to Italy and they said, hey, what are you doing for the Feast of the Seven Fishes? They probably look at you cross-eyed.
Right.
Mostly because you think it's more Italian American. Totally.
Yeah, I think so too. When I actually was doing a little looking around too, and that's what I was seeing.
Yeah. And I think it's very much...
Well, I think that's interesting because my family who immigrated, yeah, they were the ones that brought it here, or at least they were the ones that started it.
Here's kind of what I think What I think a little bit about it is, like, in Italy, a lot of the families were, you know, from southern Italy, and they didn't have a lot of money and they didn't have a lot of food. And I think part of it was like a celebration of like all the great things that have happened in America and becoming American and having more money. And so I think there's something about that too. Mm-hmm, but anyway, mm-hmm, the roots of... And this is always on Christmas Eve. Feast of the Seven Fishes is always on Christmas Eve.
Right.
And the roots of it are religious. Right. And they are actually steeped in Catholicism.
Yes. But I think they're the symbols of Catholicism. But I don't know if you find it in any, like, I mean, you're not.
No, it's not in the Bible.
No.
It's not like Jesus had the Feast of the Seven Fishes.
No.
Or
well,
Moses.
Maybe he did.
Maybe he did.
No,
and
but
we didn't know about it. He wasn't Italian, by the way. Think he probably was.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway. First of all, do you know why the focus? Oh, what were you going to say?
No, ask.
Do you know why the focus is on fish, first of all?
The focus is on fish because probably because you were sacrificing
meat.
Like, meat was the big deal, right?
Exactly.
Like,
so this is a very common thing for people who were raised, especially of Italian background. If you were raised Roman Catholic and in the tradition, it was very common that the evening before a major feast day was a meal where we abstained from meat.
Oh my gosh, give me a break.
And you're right. This purpose was really supposed to be a sort of a penance. It was like you were giving up meat. Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
But there's no suffering.
So weird.
There's
in
no
our family,
suffering. There's no suffering.
Which was such a, I mean, I'm not a big meat eater, but I remember thinking, like, this is it. Like, eating fish was like the pinnacle when we were having fish dinners.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. But and the Feast of the Seven Fishes was like
a big deal.
It's a huge deal. So I never felt it was a sacrifice. But
no.
I always remember thinking.
And it's not, let me tell you, people out there and listening, man, this is not a meal that is a sacrifice. The only thing you're going to sacrifice is like your comfort because you're going to be so stuffed that you can't even think anymore.
For those who are starving because they don't like fish.
So now let's talk about that because there are some families that are militant about no meat.
Right.
Like, you cannot have a speck.
Like my uncle.
Yes, exactly. But others are more loose, like your Aunt Lucia. And Aunt Lucia would often bring a little crock pot
again?
Of drunken weenies.
Oh my God. Because some of her family actually were the ones who didn't prefer fish. So, yes.
And I'll say, when we were first married, I was like, oh boy, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And now I'm like, I don't like everything. So we'll talk about that in a minute, like some of the foods that are served. I don't like everything, but I like a lot of them.
Yes.
Now, why is seven fishes important?
Well, seven is a big number in the Bible or in the Catholic Church.
Yeah. Are some things that are associated with seven?
The seven deadly sins.
Yes. Seven deadly sins.
That's the first one.
The seven sacraments.
Right. Seven sacraments.
In the Catholic Church,
and
seven sacraments.
Earth, the world was created in seven
days. You're right. And actually, I read this on the interwebs, but in the Bible, the number seven is used over 700 times, which is kind of ironic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so according to ChatGPT, they think that it has to do with the seven sacraments, but we're not sure. But I will say that even though this is associated with Christmas Eve and all that, it's not actually a religious, it's not a religious moment. Although a couple things do happen. Usually somebody will say grace at some point, and then very often, at least when we're at your uncle's house, a priest will show up.
Well, for sure, for years. In fact, we used to have mass in our house.
Oh, that's right, with Father Small, right?
Father Small. We all had our private mass because who wanted to take time to actually go to church and bring all the kids? And so we'd say, hey, how about you come same mass.
Yeah.
And then you can stay for the Feast of the Seven Fishes.
Yeah. And now what happened, and let me tell you, it's not a party until the priest shows up. But right. Let me tell you, what would happen is there is a couple masses on Christmas Eve. There's like the children's mass, and then there's a break, and then they do midnight mass or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so usually in the break, some of the priests would be like, hey, I need a bite to eat and maybe a glass of wine. And so let's go over to the
Pignataro.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So now, the rules for what to serve on the Feast of the Seven Fishes are not hard and fast.
No.
So fish actually does not literally mean fish. It means seafood.
Right.
So it really could be any kind of seafood. And there usually are, well, there have to be at least seven dishes, but there can be more.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was reading on the interweb, some people take it to mean like seven. There has to be seven different types of seafood.
Mm-hmm.
And some people just say, no, it's just seven different dishes and you can use the same seafood over again if you want to.
Right.
Like you could have three dishes with shrimp in it, for
mm-hmm,
instance.
Mm-hmm.
But, and also I'll say this, it's pretty common that there are just waves of food. Waves of food, right? It's not like there's one table and like everything's out all at once.
No,
it's not. Although there is a buffet later in the night, by the way.
We shouldn't have spoiled that just yet.
No, I will. Well, so what happens is, so usually the dinner starts after the children's mass on Christmas Eve, which is, by the way, my least favorite mass in the history of the world. And then we go back to somebody's house, either your parents' house or your aunt and uncle's house. And then the waves of food happen and it leads to a large buffet. And again, we'll talk about it in a second. But what are the types of seafood dishes that your family usually serves? Name them.
Okay, so we always start with oysters, raw oysters on the half shell.
Okay.
Then we'll do baked clams.
That's two.
Then we'll do steamed mussels and clams.
That's three.
And then we'll do cracked crab.
That's four.
We'll do that grilled shrimp.
That's five.
We'll do probably like a smoked salmon.
That's six. One more.
And then we'll probably do calamari, some sort of fried calamari.
Yeah, or calamari salad.
An octopus salad.
Yeah.
But it's almost all seafood rather than fish.
There isn't a ton. I mean, the smoked salmon, yes, but you're right. It's like actually there isn't like a bronzino that comes out or something.
No, no. I mean, we may have from time to time had something like that come out, but
yeah.
No. The most is usually like smoked salmon. Sometimes we'll get a whole smoked salmon.
Yeah, like a big ass smoked salmon.
Like a whole piece. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like actually the whole fish.
And then
that's
we'll smoke
smoked.
The salmon.
Yes.
You know.
Wow.
Okay, anyway. So, and then we have a famous line that we use during the evening. What
it's
is
important.
It? What
this
is the line?
This is
what
actually
is it? Your
not
brother
just
Fiore.
Like a saying. This is like a ritual.
It's kind of a rule.
It's
but
a rule,
your brother
right.
Fiore, I think, came up with it. But what is
it? It's eat and fall back.
Yeah. So let me, first of all, let me tell you, all of those of you out there in listening land, it may be a phrase that you want to use at some time, but here's, picture this. This is how it works. There's a good sized table in the kitchen where the waves of seafood are just kind of coming out and being served. But while the table is pretty good size, it's still not big enough for everyone because there's a lot of people.
True.
And so there are a lot of people who want to eat. And so because there are a lot of people, you will call out, eat and fall back, because it's like, hey, give somebody else a chance.
Exactly. Come up for air.
Yeah. And some people get it.
Back.
Yeah. And some people get it and some people don't.
Oh, and that was sort of like, instead of being like, excuse me, and trying to be polite and getting a little, you know, irritated.
You yell it, eat and fall back.
Yeah,
you
finally,
yell it out. You
finally,
yell it out.
We got to the point where it was like, nobody, if you know the phrase, say it. Point it at somebody.
That's
make
right.
that person
eat and fall back.
Come
That's
up
right.
for air.
And here's the other thing. If you snooze, you lose.
Totally.
Nobody's going to say, hey, we've got the crab coming
except
out now.
For the priest.
Except for the priest. Well, no, because usually the priest, like, they make a plate for
true.
Him. Or whatever,
That's what
whatever.
I mean. Like, everybody's going to, make sure you make a plate for the priest.
Yeah. And then after that, after these waves, seven waves of seafood, then we have the buffet dinner.
Right.
And in the buffet dinner, there has to be a pasta dish of some sort.
Always. Like
always.
Lasagna or pasta
with tomato sauce. Right.
And then, sometimes even a pesto, depending.
Yeah. And then there's a number of salads. There may be a caprese salad, there's some bread, there's some fruit, there's some cheese, there's vegetables, all that kind of stuff. Tons of food. It's a workout. Like,
And then
there's
the dessert.
And I'll just say this. In our family, any normal, like, Sunday night dinner, there's at least three desserts. There are at least, like, a dozen or more desserts.
Right. And don't forget, it is my Aunt Lucia's birthday.
That's
so
right.
So we always have a cake on
that's
Christmas
right.
Eve.
Well, what are some of the famous desserts that your family makes?
Well, it's mostly cookies, Italian cookies.
Yeah.
So my mom, in particular, she would do, like, the traditional pinoli cookies, so, like, pinoli nuts or pine nuts. She would do
angel turds.
Angel turds or your angel aunt wings. Glow. We do the pizzelles.
Yeah, your aunt Glow does pizzelle.
My daughter and I make a big platter with like, some traditional ones that are like ginger snaps and Linzer, whatever, those tart, little thumbprints.
Yeah.
Then we'll do biscotti, sometimes fudge. I mean, there's all kinds of, and then there's a cake.
And then there's a cake. And then there's also like.
Cookies too. Fiore will make it. Oh, and then we had
Jovanina. Jovanina used to make those.
All these
Italian.
Those had wine in them.
They did have wine in them. Yeah. A little honey on them.
A little red wine.
And then, of course, there's also the store-bought goods like the panettone and the terroni.
True.
And sometimes there's even like a See's Candies out there.
My.
There's so much food. You can't even believe.
Yes.
Okay, so we could talk about the food forever, but we should probably get to the wines.
Yeah, true.
We should probably get to the wines.
Because there's a lot of wine there.
And like we've said, 1.5 billion times in Italian families, wine is the fifth food group.
Right.
So you have to have wine and food or food and wine. They go together like
peas and carrots.
Peas and carrots. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So, okay. As we mentioned earlier about these wines, they're all relatively easy to find. And I know that because I bought them all on wine.com. Mm-hmm. And all of them are under $20. In fact, none of them is more than $17 or $17.99, I should say. And all of them had decent ratings from at least one well-known professional rater. So that's
nice.
Good. Mm-hmm. And then all of these wines are, of course, Italian wines. Mm-hmm. Because we're talking about fish, all of the wines are Italian white wines. So you can have red wines. You could do a Pinot Noir, a Beaujolais, or something like that, or Gamay. But we're going to do white wines because that's a little bit more traditional to have with fish. And we wanted to choose something a little bit different. So there's no Pinot Grigio and there's no Prosecco, although those are great choices. Like, you want to serve those, great. We're not saying don't serve them. We just want to do something.
And oftentimes, that's what we will have.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. They're very common, but they're good. Like, I would totally drink those any day of the week. And we also didn't choose agave or a suave because we've recently done some episodes on those. So I wanted to choose some things, some wines that are a little bit different, and maybe we'll do full episodes on some of these wines laters.
Okay.
Laters. Laters, I said.
You know,
latest.
The plural
latest. Status.
Of later.
That's right. Which is many laters later. Okay. So anyway, the first one is called Vermentino.
Nice.
And Vermentino, the Vermentino we have is called Agriolas Costalmolino Vermentino, and it comes from the large island off the coast of Italy called Sardinia.
Ah.
Now, on the island of Sardinia, Carmela. Vermentino.
The island of misfits.
That's right. The island of misfit Vermentino. Now, Vermentino is the most well-known white wine that's grown on Sardinia, although it's found in other areas in the kind of area. So in the Languedoc region of France, it's there. It's also in places in Italy like Liguria, but there it's called Pigato.
Oh.
It's also found in Piedmont, where it's called Favorita. And it's in Tuscany, where it's just called Vermentino. So I think the Italians are just trying to weird us out, like by giving different names for a bunch of things.
Of course.
Now, some people consider the Vermentino from Sardinia to be the best, and it's supposed to be like really nice and acidic, citrusy, good saline notes. So it should be a really nice fish wine.
Mm.
But we're going to find out.
Okay.
Now, the next wine, when I told it to you, you were like, oh, wait a minute. Is this cheese? It sounds like a cheese. It doesn't look like a cheese.
It might go with cheese.
It might really go well with cheese, but it's called Pecorino. So what do you think of when you think of Pecorino?
Pecorino Romano.
That's right. But it's not. It's a wine. It's a wine.
Okay.
Now, this one, this is going to take me a little while to say the name of this wine. Umani Ronchi Terre di Chiette Velodoro Pecorino.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Wait, Pecorino again? Oh, that's the first
that's
one.
The
second
name.
One, I mean.
Yeah, the Pecorino. Vermentino was the first one. So
okay.
Pecorino is a white wine grape that grows in many regions of Italy, but this specific wine comes from the Abruzzo area. And Abruzzo is basically a province that's directly east of Rome. So it's like middle of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And Pecorino was a wine, basically, Carmela, that I found out that was almost stopped being produced in any like meaningful quantities. But in the mid 1990s, they started making it again. It started.
Hmm.
In fact, some people are calling it Italy's hottest wine. I don't know who these people are. So sometimes this wine and Vermentino, they could be fermented or stored in oak, but this one is stainless steel. It doesn't go through malolactic fermentation. So I'm expecting a really nice, snappy, acidic wine, but we're going to find out. Should be good with food. Again, acidic wines are good with food.
That sounds
like a weird thing, but they're really good with food.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's been compared sometimes to Sauvignon Blanc.
Nice. These are right up my alley.
Yeah. And then in our show notes, and again, if you go to this episode on our website, in our show notes, there's lots of links. We talk about why it's called Pecorino or why it may be called Pecorino. Just trust us. It has something to do with sheep, and there's a really cute sheep on the wine bottle. But we want to keep rolling here. The third wine we're trying today is called Zenato Lugana San Benedetto.
Oh.
And Lugana is a wine made from a grape called Trebbiano. And the winemaker, which has a vineyard near Lake Garda, which we love, calls this grape Trebbiano di Laguna. Now, here's another weird thing.
Okay.
Depending on the source, and I even checked ChatGPT, and they were all over the place too. But there is also a grape called Trebbiano Toscano.
Huh.
And some people say it's the same, and some people say it's different.
What?
And there's also, sometimes it's called just Trebbiano in France. And then there's also a version of it called Uni Blanc.
Mm.
I don't know if they're all, I think they're all the same. I'm
so
not
they
sure.
don't check, they don't do like a DNA test?
I don't know. Hmm. I can't, I'm going to ask ChatGPT later on
okay.
if they do a DNA test.
Yes.
Okay, so it's very confusing. I'm all freaked out by it. We're just going to say
Yeah,
we're just going to call it a Trebbiano and we're going to go with it and we're going to see how it works. By the way, this is a grape that is commonly used in balsamic vinegar for all that's worth.
Wow.
This one also fermented in stainless steel tanks, so I'm expecting some good acidity. Lake Garda, that's where it comes from. Beautiful area,
so
underrated.
Beautiful.
If you ever want to go to Italy and go to a place with maybe a few fewer American tourists, that's a great place
mm-hmm.
to go. Okay, so. Anyway, I think it's time for us to try these wines. What do you say?
I'm in.
Okay.
I'm ready and willing.
So we're going to try it. We're going to see if these are good fits with the Feast of the Seven Fishes. So give us just a second, and we will take a break and be right back with our first wine. Okay, we are back, and we are ready to try our first wine. And this wine, I mispronounced the first time.
Oh, really?
So I'm going to get it right this time.
Okay.
It's Argiolas Costa Malino Vermentino. I got the name of the brand name wrong. So this is from Italy, Sardinia. The Argiolas family is the producer. This is a 2021, and it was $14.99
My
at wine.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's 13.5% alcohol, which is actually
quite high for a white wine.
High. And it's 100% Vermentino, as far as I know. And Wine Spectre, I always say that. Wine Spectator.
The Spectre.
No, Wine Spectator gave it an 89, which is a good rating.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you smelling?
It smells really nice.
It's really nice.
Kind so I'm getting, oh, go ahead.
Kind of reminds me a little bit of Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah,
smell.
It does. It has a little bit of like peach or something
yeah.
on it.
I'm also thinking like a little tropical fruit, like little pineapple.
Ooh, yeah. It definitely has a sweet edge to it, don't you think? There's a little bit of a sweeter like tone to it.
Little citrusy. But you're right. There's a little maybe.
There's something peachy about
peachy,
it to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Peachy or nectarine.
Pineapple-y. But.
Okay. But that's, you know, those are both sort of sweet.
Sort of.
No, it's kind of like sweet, but with tang, too.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
both have a little Sour Patch Kid on
You're right.
It,
yeah.
You know?
There is some sweetness to it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm getting a little bit of perfume, too, or something.
Mm, like floral type?
Yeah. I don't know. Just some sort of perfumey kind of smell to it. Could be the, you know, alcohol. It's relatively high alcohol, so maybe that's kind of coming through. Okay,
it's
so
very
let's
nice.
Let's try it.
Ooh.
It's nice.
Oh,
it's
it's
kind of tart or something.
At the end.
Am I right?
Especially.
Or sour?
A little Sour Patch Kid.
Yeah.
Kind of like those peach candies.
Yeah, actually,
those
you're right.
Those peach sour with a little bit of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little sweet and sour.
Mm-hmm. It's nice. It's very acidy. I like it a lot. Like, I'm really enjoying it.
Mm-hmm. I like it a lot.
Oh, it's nice. It is interesting, a little different. Like, it does have this, like, tart or sourness on it. It's got a little bitterness on it. Almost a little stone, too.
I can even, you know, it's almost like you said, though, a little bit of flower. Like, a little bit of flower petal.
Floral. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A little
what
bit
kind of flower do you think, though?
Oh, I don't know. Let me think.
It's not like a rose or anything, is it? No, no, it's not a rose.
I don't know.
It's got,
kind of
it's,
like, but it's kind of floral. They're definitely like a little bouquet of flowers.
Bouquet. Flower bouquet.
Mm-hmm.
A bouquet. Okay. What food on the feast? I can almost talk.
Oh my God,
the feast of
this?
The seven fishes. What food would you eat with it?
Oh,
what
I could,
seafood would you pair with it?
I could have anything with this. Really,
the
any of those.
Clams, baked clams.
The baked clams would be really nice because the baked clams are special. They have, this is my Auntie Anne's baked clams, and they have a topping on them. Of breadcrumbs, lemon juice, and butter. And so I think this would go really well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it would be a really nice, it would cut right through some of that butter and saltiness and just
I think so.
Don't you think?
I do. I think so. I also think it would go well with like the steamed clams and mussels. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm thinking maybe not, you know, the grilled shrimp has kind of a meaty flavor. I think it would go great.
I think it would go great.
But I'm thinking more of like some more of
those. Well, and even like the crab, like the fresh
crab. See, I don't eat crab. Freaks me out. It freaks me out.
Oh my God, it freaks me out.
I won't eat it.
Then you get that little end, like the of the leg.
No.
And you take that little part that's pointy, and then you use it. And my Aunt Glo calls it the tool. Everybody needs their tool.
To take out some of the crab.
It
grosses me out. It freaks me out. It looks like a spider. No, I like crab cakes. It looks like a spider. It kind of freaks me out.
Spider of the sea.
It made me sick.
Oh, no. Okay, so what else would you eat with this? Like,
This is definitely a fish wine. Like, I don't think...
It's giving you a fish vibe.
Yeah, like lasagna, pasta, it's not going to go with.
I don't think so either. Not like a red sauce. No. Like, I think it would... The acidity from, like, the tomato sauce, but this would not work. Mm-hmm. Like, you definitely want to have... Like, probably people who like oysters... Mm-hmm. Would love this wine with it, I bet.
I think you're right. I don't like oysters either. They kind of freak me out.
It's the only one I don't eat.
It is funny because you'll eat seafood like crazy. Oh, yeah. But you will not eat the oysters.
I just get crazy. Oysters. I fall back.
Okay, I'll just, you fall back. You guys go ahead and eat. I'm falling back. I will say this is a nice wine. It's different. Like, it's a little different. It's got a little bit more body. It's got a little bit more than like a Pinot Grigio. I like it. It's a really nice wine. It's a nice drinking wine. Like, I could see this, you know, you're before dinner or whatever, you're kind of hanging out on a, you know, Christmas or whatever holiday you celebrate, and you're just kind of drinking it. Yes. I think it's a nice drinking wine.
It does have a little bit of bitterness, which is kind of interesting.
It is. Yeah. It would go well with like cheeses and that kind of stuff too. It's really nice wine.
It feels like an old world wine.
Ooh, you're...
I don't know why.
And how do you know what old world wine is?
Because when I lived in the old world. No, but do you know what I mean?
It just reminds me of it, yeah.
I don't know what I mean.
Actually, I don't know what you mean.
I don't know what I mean.
But I'm with you.
It just kind of has a traditional taste to it.
Okay. I will take that.
Okay.
For what it's worth. Okay. All right. Let's rate this wine. So a little reminder on our rating scale. We rate on a scale of 1 to 10, where 7 and above means that, hey, we're going to buy this wine, and 4 below means, hey, we're not going to buy this wine. We're not going to like it. And I was listening to our last episode, and I screwed up about 5 and 6. I said like 4 and 6 or something. But if it's a 5 or a 6, we'll drink it. Mm-hmm. But we may look for something else. And we're not going to buy it.
Right.
But it's not terrible.
Try and hand it off to somebody. Yeah, but
it's not terrible.
If nobody wants it, we'll drink it.
We'll keep drinking it. We'll keep drinking it. So what would you give this wine?
Okay. So it's so hard because white wines are my specialty, right? Mm-hmm, so it's difficult because I just love so many. Okay. I'm going to give this
The way, no halvesies. You have to have a whole number.
I think I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay.
But I'm really tempted to give it an 8.
Okay.
But I'm going to give it a 7 for now.
I'm going to give it an 8, and I'll tell you why.
Wow.
It's really interesting to me because, interesting, I use interesting a word. I say like
it's
and interesting a lot.
It's not like a good thing.
It's not, but in this case it youngest. Is. So here's what I would say, is it reminds me a little bit of a Sauvignon Blanc. It's got some of those kind of flavors to it, but it's got more body. Like it's got like a good Sauvignon Blanc will have that, but this is a little richer. I think it's a richer wine. So I really like it, and I think it could be a good like alternative.
And actually, yes, I would say for you, I can see why you would like this even more than like a typical Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah, because it's not as like, sometimes those like Pinot Grigios and Sauvignon Blanc can almost be flyaway. Like they're almost like not, they're so light and I love them, but they're almost so light. Like this one's got good girth, like good with fried foods, good with fish and chips, good with that kind
of stuff.
Right,
it can stand up.
Totally.
You can
good
stand
wine.
Up to it.
Good
yeah, it's
wine.
A great wine.
Good
see,
wine.
And that's why I'm going to see how I feel about these other ones. And
I know. I'm super curious about these other two because I don't think I don't recall having any of these before. Like these these varietals before. So I'm super excited about
this. Yes.
Okay. We're going to take a break and we are going to try our next wine.
Perfect.
Okay. We are back and we're ready to try our next wine. And while I'm talking about it, Carmela, you can smell it.
Oh, thanks.
So, yeah, thanks. You're welcome. This one's got a real cute little label on it. It's got a little sheep on it. Super cutie cute. Okay.
So cute.
This one has the long name, Umami Ronki Terre di Chieti Velladoro Pecorino. So again, this is from Italy. It's the Abruzzo region of Italy. The producer is Umani Ronchi. This is a 2021. The price was $16.99.
Wow.
On wine.com. This is only 12.5% alcohol, so a little bit less than the last one. The grape is Pecorino. And the ratings, professional ratings, James Suckling, which is a big surprise, gave it a 92. And the tasting panel gave it a 91. Hmm. So, Carmela, what are you smelling in this Pecorino? And it's not a cheese, ladies and gentlemen.
And it doesn't smell cheesy, thank God. It's less
pretty
fruity.
Light.
Yeah,
so
I was going to say, it's very almost kind of thin smelling.
Yeah, doesn't have...
It's almost hard to get a lot out of it.
Snow.
Maybe a little apple.
I think apple.
But it's pretty, yeah, you're right. It's thin, light.
It's hard to get. I'm almost getting a little bit, you know, sometimes those, we've mentioned this before, like the Rieslings and Alsace have a little gas smell to them. It's almost got a little gasoline, maybe.
Maybe, but pretty mild, pretty subtle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm not getting much.
I'm not getting much of a smell. It smells, and I think this is just typical of like smelling something cold, but it has that fresh smell.
It does.
To it,
apple. Know? I'm getting a little apple. I think that's mostly it. I think we're gonna have to go in and taste it because we're not gonna. We're gonna be like it's. We're gonna have to put it up our
Start,
nose.
Like,
okay. Here we
hyperventilating.
Go. It's just super light. It's got a little
really
bitterness.
Light.
It's got a little bitterness to it.
It's like a wine spritz.
It does have almost a little bit of
isn't that what
effervescence.
Yeah, isn't
to
it? Don't they call a wine spritz sort of a watered down? Or am I totally off?
No.
What's a wine spritz?
Well, like a spritz. It's got like wine and some like, well, the Campari and a little bit of.
Oh, no, but I think there's something else. I got to look it up. Yeah, you're going to have to take this out. I don't know
what she's talking about, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know. It's
Jeez,
a spritz. We've
Lois.
Had a spritz a million times. But she's saying, I don't know what a spritz is, but she's
grandma?
Had a spritz.
Hey, I have a spritz that I like.
You're
a
talking
spritzer.
About a spritzer.
What's a spritzer?
I don't know, but I think that's
spritzel.
What it is. Okay.
No,
will
that's
you just
a
tell
German
me?
Thing.
No, God.
Spackle. No, what is it called? A spritzel?
Oh, my God. Can we stop? Can we just stop and talk about the wine?
But wait, is there a German, like, pretzel
shit.
Or something called a spritzel?
I don't know. Would somebody out in listening land just call us and let us know? Because we don't know what
I'm
the hell.
I'm all turned upside down
I don't
down
know what
now.
Is going on
I'm
right
so
now.
Sorry,
I've totally lost.
But
I'm,
a spritzy. Wait. Wait, what did you call it?
A spritzer.
What's a spritzer?
Oh, my God. Okay. Hold on. All right. We are back. And
okay.
I'm answering. A wine spritzer is a light cocktail in which wine is mixed with club soda and served over ice.
It's a spritzer. It tastes like a
spritzel. From.
What's a spritzel?
Oh, God, a pretzel. What?
No,
okay, fine. I get it. It's a super... I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
We've
lost it.
We talked about a spritz. I brought it up. I didn't mean a spritz because I like a spritz with Aperol, not Campari. But I know people like Campari.
You didn't want to shoot yourself?
Anyway, no, but the spritzer is a thing. And this tastes like a spritzer. I've never had a spritzer, but I think that it's kind of...
She thinks it tastes like a spritzer, although she's never had a spritzer.
Okay, but it's light.
Fine. This is really light.
It's very light.
Super light. I mean, it's almost like... this is fly away. And it it doesn't have a lot of taste to it.
Mm. What was the alcohol in it?
12.5%.
Okay, so it's not like super light.
No, but it's got a little lemon. It's got some lemon.
A little bit of citrus.
It's got a little pith on it. A little bitterness, a little pith, maybe a little stone, but super light.
Not a lot of apple on the taste.
No, it's lemony.
It's
very,
very
lemony.
Light. And it is lemony,
If you kind of put it in your mouth a little bit more, like kind of swish it around your mouth a little, I'm being serious.
Okay.
You'll taste much more lemon.
It's like lemon water.
It is like a lemon water. I agree. And so you get that now?
Mm-hmm.
Like kind of, you get lemony. It's like a lemon water. Super, super citrusy. So what food?
So citrusy.
Yeah. What food would you have with this?
You could almost pour this on your oysters. You could do that. It could be delicious. You could probably cook with this wine. Okay. Sorry. You know what? You could probably have this with a lot of things.
Okay. Go ahead.
I could have this with the shrimp easily. I could have this with the clams. Mm-hmm. I could have this with any of those dishes.
Okay.
I could
any
have
of
it
the
here
seafood
or there.
Dishes.
I could have it anywhere.
Any of the seafood dishes, but not with pasta. Again, not
no,
with pasta.
No.
But this one, compared to the first one, so the Vermentino had some body to it.
Mm-hmm.
This has almost no body. I mean, it's super light.
Right.
Super citrusy. It does taste like lemon water. It's nice. I mean, look, I'm not bagging on it.
Oh, no.
It's nice.
But if you're looking to impress, you're not going to bring this bottle necessarily somewhere.
Yeah.
And we may not even really serve it.
Oh, I would serve it. But, it's not, like, the bottle's cute. It's not going to offend anybody. It's just, you know, I'm like, eh, it's
maybe
okay.
Maybe after
it's
exercise,
okay.
This might be.
Oh, this would be good. Coming off the treadmill, a little sweaty. Just pound this. It's got really, a little Gatorade on it. Yeah, it's got a little Gatorade
does,
going.
It's yeah, kind of just like you. A nice citrusy glass of water.
Yeah. Yeah. Gatorade gum.
Okay, oh, so wow. Gatorade
gum. Okay. What rating are you going to give this wine, a Carmela?
Okay. So this is the deal. I like it. I don't have a problem with it at all. But I'm probably not going to be like, I'm not going to order this glass of wine. I'll probably give it a 6.
I am too.
Okay.
I mean, I might order it, but it would have to be
for breakfast.
A very, yeah, no, I don't know, no. But it have to be for a very specific reason, you know, like I want something super light, summer day, mm-hmm. I'm out in the sun, whatever, but it's not, you know, it's like, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's not bad. I'm not, no. Like, we're not bagging on it. It's not like I'm throwing it down the sink. I actually like it. I will drink it. I'm just, it's not knocking me out.
No.
So there you go.
Unless
okay.
you have the whole bottle.
That might knock you out. I will tell you, this is one of those wines that you would call dangerous.
Yes, true.
Because you could just down this thing. You could be like, oh, it tastes like lemon water. And four drinks in, you're like,
I would be, woof. That would not be good.
Okay. Maybe you put on a corset. Okay. Anyway,
no.
We're going to take a...
People don't know about that.
Well, they do if they listen to the last episode.
Oh, okay.
Put it on, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. I don't have a corset. I'm sorry.
Not yet. Merry Christmas. Okay. Let's take a break and we're going to try our last wine. Okay, we are back and we are ready to try our last wine. And I will say, in a little bit of a disappointment, all of the wines had corks in them.
Yeah, true.
We like a nice screw cap.
Jeez.
You know, it makes it so much easier when you bring it over to somebody's house and then you can just crack it open.
I agree.
Or on the drive over.
Oh,
anyway, no,
wait.
No, you'd never do that.
Wait.
Okay. This next wine is a Zanato Lugana San Benedetto. It's from Italy, from the Veneto region, which is a fancy way of saying the Venice region. The producer is Zanato, which is part of the Winebow wine brands. This is also a 2021. This is our most expensive. It was $17.99. We got it at wine.com. The alcohol content is 13.5%.
Wow.
Which is the same as the first one.
Yeah. These are high alcohol wines.
Mm-hmm. For white wines, yeah. And again, this is the Trebbiano, but they call it Trebbiano Lugana or Uni Blanc. I don't know. I think that's what... we'll see. And the professional rating, it's also, again, James Azakalenga.
Oh,
and
boy.
He gave it another 92, which is like what he gives everything. But
right.
What are you smelling on this wine, Carmelita?
Okay, so it's definitely richer mm-hmm. than the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to the first... I'm kind of getting a little bit of pineapple on this one.
A little
bit.
See, I'm getting sweetness. I'm getting like sweetness on this, like a cotton candy kind of sweetness.
I feel like, cotton candy, huh?
Yeah, and a little vanilla. I know this one was stainless steel, but it's got a little vanilla smell to it. It's got a little like candy smell to it. I'm getting a little bit of fruit, a little bit of maybe, I don't know, pear or something, like a sweet pear.
Okay, yeah.
What are you getting?
The pear I can get behind, for sure. I'm still kind of getting a little bit of tropical on it. Like
maybe a little
mango-y
bit.
Or
maybe,
guava.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Something.
They just have a little hint of citrus on it. Like just a, like a little lemon hint.
It's definitely rounder smelling.
It does. That's why I was wondering like if it was oaked, and it's not. It's stainless steel, but it does have a rich, almost like a creaminess to it.
Yes.
Almost
has maybe a creamy smell to it. That's the vanilla that you're getting too, you know, can kind of have a little bit of that.
Marshmallowy maybe.
Ooh, I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's try it and see what we think.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, it's tart. Lemony. It does have some... What fruit is that? It does have fruit on it, like a nice fruit.
It's very nice.
Little tropical fruit.
I do. I feel like I was like papaya.
Papaya. Like
it feels very like island.
It does. It's not pineapple-y though to me.
No,
it's different.
I think you're right. It had a little hint.
It's
like
a richer
smell.
Fruit.
Yeah, it is definitely. And a more like butterier. Like if you get a really ripe like mango or papaya.
Oh, it's nice.
You almost have a creaminess.
It does
That's
have a creaminess.
Said. Yeah.
It has a little body to this one. It's got a nice bitterness on the end. A little stone, but it's nice. It does have the nice mouth feel. Kind of reminds me of the first one. It's a little bit different flavor profile than the first one, but it's got nice roundness to it. It's got a little bit of body on it.
Less bitter, maybe, than the first one?
I don't know. I think it's got some bitterness on it.
Yeah, a little bit, but I feel like the first one was a little more citrus or tang or something, you know, like what you really get a lot of it, you know, in that swish around your mouth. But this is full. And pretty delicious.
I'm liking it.
What would you have? I'm going to ask you first this time.
I think I could go with any of them. And in fact, this one has a nice firmness to it that I almost feel like salad, like the second, like the buffet course.
Oh, you could do it.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think it could stand up because of the body. It's got good acidity, but I think because of the body, it could actually stand up to like a lasagna or a melanzana, like a parmigiana or something.
Oh, I think you're right.
You know, a little cheese.
Much more,
you
actually,
need a little cheese with it.
And that's the difference, I think, between the first one and this one. This one actually, I think, could stand up to some of those sauces that you wouldn't normally maybe have with this type of wine.
I really think it could. It's nice. Mm-hmm. It's got good body to it. I like it. Mm-hmm. It's really nice.
Mm.
So it's got a little, this to me is more like, this could be your all night drinking wine. It's good. It's good.
Is that better? I didn't scream.
Yeah, no, that was way better because then I have to like figure out.
Oh, yeah. No, this is really nice. Mm-hmm. They're all very pretty too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in the glass. Yeah, the bottles.
Right.
The one we liked the least from the taste profile, like the sheep, the Pecorino, mm-hmm. had the cutest bottle.
Yeah, because it had a little sheep on it.
Yeah, the first one and the last one are kind of boring.
This one's sort of a classic bottle.
Kind of classy.
Yeah, it's nice for, for a Christmas Eve, just, you know, or whatever, or holiday. Just
no, this is a good bottle of wine. This is a nice bottle of wine
really
to bring
nice.
To somebody's house. Like
really
this
nice.
Is a good wine.
Mm-hmm.
What rating would you give this wine?
Well, I definitely an 8. Definitely. I mean, gosh.
Oh, really? An 8?
Yeah. I'm going to give it an 8 for sure. What are you going to do?
I am torn between a 7 and an 8. I really like it. I kind of liked the first one better.
Okay.
But I'm going to give it an 8. It's a really nice wine.
I'd like to almost
really
try
nice
them
wine.
Side by side just because.
Do it. We're going to do it all night.
Woo!
We're
gonna
Woo! Now taste that one. Woo!
Yeah.
Now taste that one.
Because
yow!
There's.
Now taste that one. Yow! Now taste that one. Yow!
And I want to hear more about like what what people say about it because I'm curious how similar or different they are.
Well,
so wait,
let's
what did
do
you
that.
Say you were giving it?
I'm giving it an 8 as well.
Okay.
I'm giving it an 8. So, okay. Which one? Let's do a couple of things. Which one of these are you finishing tonight?
Wow, that's tough. I think I'm going to have this one.
Okay. I think I'm going to do the Vermentino. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So we're good. And then which do you think is the right wine for the Feast of the Seven Fishes?
Well, definitely the first or the third.
Yeah. I think either of them are great. I do think that this one is probably more of the all night like
exactly.
wine.
This you if you're just buying night. One mm-hmm. white wine.
Probably this one.
This one will probably do the trick for the whole night.
But I think I like the Vermentino a little better.
Okay.
But that's okay.
Okay.
Okay. So let's do the taste profile expected from these different wines. So a Vermentino. The Wine Folly says lime, grapefruit, green apple, almond, daffodil.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
We were getting
you were getting
flower.
That perfume, mm-hmm. yeah.
Then also sometimes saline, pineapple, apricots. You mm-hmm. said peaches.
Well,
peaches in there.
Oh, good.
Orange blossom and mineral.
Hey.
And the Wine Spectator said of this wine, poached apricot, raspberry, wild thyme, and orange curds.
Okay.
Offers citrus zest and sea salt notes.
Mm, the sea salt. That's interesting. Mm-hmm, I mm-hmm. can see that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Pecorino Wine Paradigm said aromas of acacia, jasmine, lemon blossom, yellow fruit, and nuts, followed by flavors of apricot, peach, pear, lemon with a mineral edge and sometimes a slightly spicy finish. I didn't get any of that.
We didn't get any of that.
Now, another one said lemon, honey, candied citrus. I think that's closer to what we
have. Yes, I would think so. That's interesting. It was more of a thinner
mm-hmm.
taste profile mm-hmm. on that.
Okay, so Wine Folly says of Trebbiano Laguna, white peach, lemon, green apple, seashell, basil. Actually, that's just Trebbiano in general. James Suckling said of this wine, pure mineral, incisive nose with limey, chalky character, green apple and citrus aromas. Palate is more subtle, medium to full-bodied frame. I agree with that. With generous citrus fruit and zesty finish. I kind of agree with this. The winery says peaches, citrus, bananas. Bananas is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And herbs, mm-hmm. which are underscored by crisp acidity and supple body. I do think, you know, like, I don't know about supple. That sounds a little sexy.
Wow.
But it did have body to it.
You mean like a corset?
Yeah, exactly. If this wine had a lingerie, it would be a corset. That's what it would wear. Okay. I don't know what to say, but we did okay on the taste profiles.
Okay. We did okay. Yeah. I mean, we were.
The first one, I think we nailed more.
I think so. I would mm-hmm. say that one. And then the second one was just so, we just weren't getting a lot.
We weren't getting much of anything.
Yeah, that was mm-hmm. a little trickier. But yeah, we did okay.
Yeah, I like it. So first of all, ladies and gentlemen, Feast of the Seven Fishes, if you
start
don't do
your
it,
start your tradition
do it.
Now.
Do it. Do it. Become Italian. Say you're Italian-American.
Right.
Make it up.
Even
it's fine.
Just do
it's
it.
Good. Do
You'll
it.
Enjoy it.
You'll enjoy it. We'll allow it.
It's not a sacrifice.
Especially if you contact us or give us a nice rating, we'll let you in. We'll
right.
let you in.
Right. Come on
You'll
down.
Get a test at Sunday Night Dinner, and then maybe it's Feast of the Seven Fishes.
And then
if you
maybe
bring,
we'll adopt you.
Adopt you. And then if you bring wine, you're in. Like, you're totally in.
Right.
Like,
and if you bring these wines?
These wines.
Fine.
Yeah. All of them. I mean, even the Pecorino. We'll take you.
True.
Okay. So anyway, we would like to thank you very much for listening to us. We are the Wine Pair Podcast. And while you're thinking about it, again, subscribe and give us a nice rating and we'll invite you over. And we'd love to hear from you on any of these things. Do you celebrate the Feast of the Seven Fishes?
What do you celebrate?
If you don't celebrate it, what do you celebrate it? If you do celebrate it, what are your fish dishes? We want to know.
Right. Do you like bacala?
And bacala. Have you ever had it?
Tomato sauce with everything.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're Calabrese like me. Okay. You can email us at joe@thewinepairpodcast.com and you can visit us on our website at thewinepairpodcast.com and you can email us and you can reach out to us and you can leave us a voicemail and all sorts of stuff and you can follow us on Instagram and you can also follow us on Counter Social and you can DM us and we hope you tell your friends and your family and the people who are Italian or want to be Italian or Italian adjacent or whatever it is.
Wow.
We just want you to tell people about us.
Just tell people.
Tell people and we would love it and love you and we'll drink wine with you. Okay. Well, thank you for listening to The Wine Pair Podcast and we'll see you next time or listen to you or see you or what, I don't know.
Oh my God. Don't make it confusing.
I know. I'm already confused. And as we like to say, life is short, so stop drinking shitty wine.
Can you say that in Italian?
Life is... Vito è piccolo. I don't know how to say
okay,
piccolo.
Okay, next time. Piccolo?
Small.
Small.
I don't know.
Oh, life is small.
Yeah.
Small. Short.
Merde. No, that's French for shitty. Okay, stop drinking the shitty wine. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao. Buon Natale. Too much.